and welcome to our special council meeting for Wednesday the 31st of July. I'd like to declare the meeting open at 5:33 and in doing so respectfully acknowledge the Gadiyara people whose land we're on this afternoon, respectfully acknowledging the contribution of Gadiyara elders past, present and future in all working together for the betterment of the future city of Port Hedland. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Sorry everyone, I've got a bit of a head cold, so bear with me. Item 2, recording of attendance and apologies, 2.1, as listed. 2.2, apologies nil. 2.3, approved leave of absence, Councillor David Hooper and Councillor Penny Taylor. Item 3, public time. Just an important note, this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with the minute-taking purposes which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for your recording of your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law on Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has the permission of the chairperson to do so. Could I please have a show of hands who would like to ask questions for public question time 3.1? Terrific. I declare public question time open at 5:35. Please state your name nice and clear.
On page 27 of the draft budget, the underground reserve 2012-13 has transferred to reserves $11,195,000 and then transferred out of reserves same amount. Was that the loan amount?
CEO?
Could I refer that to the Director of Corporate Services, please?
Yes, no, that was not the loan amount. No. That was the total amount of the underground power charges that were expected to be received. Just to explain the reserve account, essentially the reserve account was established in anticipation that the funds may not all be expended during the 2012-13 financial year with rising power, and that was prior to the budget of the funding agreement being struck. Very clearly the scope of works required those funds to be transferred in 12-13 and therefore the reserve fund did not collect any surplus funds and wasn't required to be used.
Okay.
Has Western Power been paying in full for the underground power project?
You mean Horizon Power?
Horizon,
yes. CEO?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the funds that we have collected we have paid.
On last year's amount, it looked pretty close to what we required, what we were required to pay Horizon Power, is it? And what's left to pay?
So, through you, Madam Mayor, I'll defer to the Director of Corporate Services, but there are some outstanding payments, Mr. Blanco, where some property owners have not made their payments. And so, at this stage, we are paying Horizon Power the money as we receive it.
Also where people have taken instalment options as well. Director, do you want to add anything further?
I guess through the Chair, the last balance outstanding was in the order of from debtors that owed the town, about mm-hmm. $2 million, mm-hmm. And we are yet to make the final payment. We have some adjustments to do with Horizon Power in terms of properties where Horizon Power did inadvertently provide us with incorrect information in terms of connections, so mm-hmm. we are going through that process with them now. And Water Corp, for example, is another one who is actually paying Horizon Power directly, so we have some bill adjustments to do with Horizon Power through that process. Yep.
Can I just get the page number where that $2 million is in the budget?
CEO?
Can you
locate me? Through the Chair, we don't list our current debtors for budget purposes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that appears in our monthly financial statements. Essentially, it would form, if you like, part of our receivables balance.
Any further questions?
Does that affect the budget at all?
Certainly not under the terms of our agreement with Horizon Power. We're only agreed to pass on funds that we've received directly. CEO, do you want to add anything further?
Well, only that we do record it as a receivable. So if they are funds owed to the Town of Port Hedland via those ratepayers, and then we have an obligation to pay those funds once received to Horizon Power as part of the pub.
So we pay instalments for the underground power. So we must, if we've paid $11 million, we must be ahead on those instalments. Is that correct?
I don't believe so, but I'll defer to the Director of Corporate Services.
Through the Chair, the instalments options, because obviously over a five-year period, we took out a loan to fund those, which was essentially self-supporting through the ratepayers who were affected by underground power. Those funds have essentially, if you like, I guess reimbursed the town for the payments that have been made.
So we have paid it up front, and then as the instalments come in, it goes back in and replaces that loan that we've taken out.
Yes.
Any further questions?
You've confused me a little bit more now. So we paid the full amount up front, is that correct?
For those ones that have actually took the option of having the instalments, and that's where we were able to give the calculated loan rate when we actually took out the loan, and we've been able to do that now, factoring in the repayment of those instalments to pay back the loan.
So we've taken the loan out?
Yes.
Through the Chair, yes, we've taken out a loan for those people who took up instalments, which ended up only being about $644,000.
But if people didn't respond or they haven't done any payment, they haven't been factored into that because they haven't responded.
Originally, we were going to take out a loan for $11.5 million or something, whatever the 25% was, or the 20%. Is that right?
No, we were only doing it for the ones to cover people who were taking the instalment option. Director, do you want to add anything further?
Through the Chair, the initial breakdown, so the $11 million was the full amount that the town was required to pay to Horizon Power, reflecting the 25% contribution from the town. The assumptions that we had around the $11 million was that some people would take out instalments and some people wouldn't, and they would pay up front. And I believe our estimates at the time were around a $6 million, $4 million split to that effect. Very clearly, with the people that decided to take up the loan option, it was considerably less, which has actually been a good result for the town because it's impacted less on its debt capacity. So it's been a good outcome. We were quite surprised by the amount that didn't decide to take up that option.
Has the Walmart Road money been received by BHP?
Yes, has been
received from BHP. Yes. Yes.
Is the Walworth Road Bridge money reserve or restricted money?
CEO?
It's not reserve funds. It's provided via a funding agreement and is not required to be contained in a reserve account.
It was received for a specific purpose.
That's correct. And the town is obligated through its funding agreement with Main Roads to pay that share of funds towards the Warwick Bridge project together with the loan funds that the Town of Port Hedland's committed to of $850,000.
I can add to that. The CEO is perfectly right. We have actually identified those funds on page 33. And again, anticipating that they weren't going to come in, but we would have to accrue them in any case because they're a prepayment. So page 33 has identified them as restricted income, not as restricted reserves. So they are maintained within the municipal account.
So the $20 million is restricted income?
Yes.
Is that amount in the municipal account?
CEO?
Yes, it is.
Are we using that money in the municipal account just for the bridge, or are we using it for something else? If it's a restricted reserve, it should be in a reserve account, shouldn't it?
It's not a restricted reserve, as was...
It's a restricted amount for a specific purpose.
Yep. So through the budget process, council, if council adopts the budget tonight, there's an obligation within the budget to make those funds available to pay the invoices from Main Roads in accordance with the funding agreement. So there's no restriction on municipal funds as to how the Town of Port Hedland may use those municipal funds, other than in accordance with the budget.
Thank you. Are there any further public questions? I declare public question time closed at 5:44. Thank you. 3.2, public statement time. Are there any public statements? Thank you. I declare public statement time closed at 5:44 as well. Thank you. Item 4, questions from members without notice. Deputy Mayor?
Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Carter?
Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Gillingham?
Oh, yeah, just briefly, I do feel for the community of Port Hedland regarding our 8% rise, as it's an extra 8% on top of what was last year's budget. And I know that we can't see into the crystal ball, but I know a lot of cutting and shaping to get to a balanced budget has had to take place by the staff, and I obviously congratulate the staff for having to work so hard on doing that.
Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. It's leading up to my question, as I said at the beginning, through Chair, Madam Mayor. Is, with the crystal ball, is this going to next year's interest rate rise for the public? Are we likely to see a less interest rate rise?
It's not an interest rate, Councillor.
A rate rise for the people.
Hence the importance of the 10-year financial plan, and that's the sort of modelling and the assumption work that we need to do to make sure that we can actually pass rate increases that not only support our operations and our growth and our aspirations, but making sure that we're doing the right thing by ratepayers as well. So we're still working that out in terms of our preliminary 10-year financial plan, and it is hope that hopefully we don't have to, but we need to work through that process and the underlying assumptions. CEO?
If I could just answer it to that, Madam Mayor, I think the Mayor's very, very correct in terms of that long-term financial plan. I think during the 13-14 year, we're very keen to look at a rating strategy, and ideally then our members of our community and our ratepayers will know not only for next year but for years in advance what the projected rate increases are. And we should be able to get that document out there for public comment and actually have further community engagement with the with our ratepayers and our residents, so they actually understand why those rate levels are set and, as the Mayor said, what assumptions sit behind there.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Any further questions?
No, thank you.
Councillor Jeanbach?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Jacob?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hunt?
Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, councillors. Item 5, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before us. Could I please have a show of hands? Yep, 7-0, thank you. Okay, disclaimer, all members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on council decisions on items in this evening's agenda in which they may have an interest, until formal notification in writing by council has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. Item 6, reports of officers. Item 6.1.1, initiation of the proposed South Hedland Town Centre development plan with the officer's recommendation on page 17. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points, I move.
Move, Councillor Carter. Seconded, Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. Item 6.2.1, South Hedland Youth Space, endorsement of final design and authority to call for construction of tenders.
Could I declare a financial interest, please? 6.2.1, with BHP shareholding over the threshold.
Yep, thank you, Councillor Jeanbach. Any other declarations of interest? Okay, so we still have 6 councillors, so we still have a quorum. I have an officer's recommendation there on page 26. Do I have any points of clarification?
Yes, if I may, Madam Mayor. Under item 2 of the officer's recommendation, I would like to include the following comment and refer back to council for consideration. Authorise the chair to give call for tenders for the construction of South Devon New Spurs and refer back to council for consideration.
After those tenders are received?
Yes, please.
Okay, I have a mover in Councillor Carter, I have a seconder in Councillor Gillingham. Governance, you're okay with that? I'll give you a... Okay, Councillor Carter and Gillingham, you're both happy with that number 2 there now, as
That's
it is?
It.
So all tenders are now referred back to council over $100,000?
No. Yeah, they are. They are.
Everyone's happy?
Yes.
Okay, do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Could someone please get Councillor John back? Welcome back, Councillor John back. As you resume your seat at the table, letting you know the officer's recommendation, with the addition that it will be referred to part 2, it will be referred back to council for consideration. With that addition of that sentence, it was passed 6-0. Okay, councillors, 6.2.2, page 31. General practitioner housing, preparation of business plan for the proposed stage 2 development.
So perhaps if I can, councillors, perhaps I can read some information first, as it might save you walking in and out. So reference to this particular item, Madam Mayor, elected members were canvassed as to expressions of interest to ensure we actually had a quorum, or we're going to have a quorum tonight. Mm-hmm. We received, we understood there were going to be declarations of financial interests, and we therefore requested the Department of Local Government through the Minister's delegation to the Acting Director General that we could actually have elected members declare their financial interests and still participate in the meeting. Mm-hmm. The department came back to us indicating that elected members that were going to were going to declare their interest would be permitted on an individual basis to participate in the discussion and decision-making procedures relating to council's consideration of this matter. However, it was for this particular agenda item only, and it was subject to certain conditions. Now, those four conditions are, and I'll read those out if I may, the approval is only valid for the special meeting of council to be held on the 31st of July 2013. Number 2, the disclosing member is to declare the nature and extent of their interest at the council meeting when this matter is considered, together with the approval provided, which is this letter. Part 3, the CEO is to provide a copy of the department's letter advising of the approval to the disclosing member. And 4, the CEO is to ensure that the declaration, including the approval given and any conditions imposed, are recorded in the minutes of the meeting when this matter is discussed. And the Acting Director General had also declined two other elected members to participate. The third elected member who had a financial interest in this matter was also advised through our advice from the department that not only were they to declare the nature and extent of that interest, but the extent had to be to the point of the number of shares or the value of the shares as of today's meeting. Mm. And that is not seen to be acceptable to that elected member. So therefore, to cut a long story short, this decision of council requires an absolute majority. With those elected members not able to participate, we will not have a quorum for that particular
item. But we still need to go through the process of members declaring and still doing that.
You can do that, or we can just remove this item from the agenda right now because we're not going to have a quorum. So I guess we have a quorum until those elected members leave the room to discuss this item. So formally, I think you can still take the declarations of interest.
Yep.
It's just administratively, those elected members will need to leave the room.
Yep.
Then we'll have to declare that their quorum has lapsed.
I would prefer to do that. That's what we normally do. And it's nice and open for the public so everyone can see. Yeah. So can I please have declarations of interest on this matter?
I'd like to declare interest in 6.2.2, again with BHP shareholdings over the threshold.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, in regard to item 6.2.2, I'd like to declare I have a financial interest in that I have BHP shares over the threshold.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt.
Madam Mayor, I also have a financial interest on item number 6.2.2 to have shares above the threshold.
Thank you, Councillor DeCash. Okay, councillors, unfortunately we only have four members remaining and unfortunately we don't have a quorum to consider this item. So this item will lay for want of a quorum to be able to consider this item.
So we'll refer this to the ordinary council meeting, the August meeting of council.
Terrific. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, councillors, for that little bit of exercise. As you resume your seat at the table, unfortunately it did lapse for want of a quorum and that item will now be taken to the next ordinary council meeting, which will be our August ordinary council meeting.
Thank you, Madam.
Okay, 6.3, corporate services, 6.3.1, adoption of the 2013-14 budget.
I'd like to move
Could I first just have the CEO just read out the letter in regards to the ministerial approval, because that relates to this.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Because of the differential rates requirements under the Local Government Act, we sought ministerial approval, and that information has only formally come through to the office over the last few days after the agenda was distributed to elected members. This is from the Honourable Tony Simpson, MLA, Minister for Local Government, Community Services, Seniors and Volunteering and Youth, addressed to the CEO, Town of Port Hedland. Dear Mr Osborne, ministerial approval, differential rates and minimum payments under the Local Government Act 1995. This letter is regarding the Town's application for ministerial approval for differential rates and minimum payments proposed by the Town. After much deliberation, I have decided to approve the Town's request. This approval is only applicable to the specific rate categories and amounts that were proposed in the Town's application. If the town's proposal is changed prior to formal adoption in the budget, my approval will not extend to those changes. I have recently become concerned with the frequency at which local governments are requesting my approval for proposed differential rates that exceed the limits set by Section 633 in brackets 3 of the Local Government Act 1995. In the event that a local government wishes to propose a differential rate that exceeds the statutory limits, it is highly desirable that a local government should directly consult the landowners who will be affected by that rate. This should be in addition to any formal public notice requirements prescribed by the Act. It is my understanding this course of action was suggested to the Town by the Department of Local Government. Since the Department's suggestion was both reasonable and practical, it is disappointing that the Town declined to act on it. When considering applications of this nature in the future, I intend to pay closer attention to the extent to which local governments have directly consulted with their ratepayers. My intention is to encourage greater levels of consultation between local governments and their ratepayers, particularly when these local governments propose significant increases in differential rates. Yours sincerely, signed by the Honourable Tony Simpson, MLA.
Thank you, CEO. Governance, if we can have that added to the minutes, please, that would be appreciated. Okay, councillors, before we start, are there any points of clarification or anything with the items that are laid before us in terms of the consideration of this item?
I'd like to suspend standing orders for discussion on item 6.3.1.
6.3. So the whole lot?
Yes. Just that.
Okay. Okay, I have a move of the suspend standing orders, seconded Councillor Jeanbat. All in favour? But the record so 7-0. Okay, speak freely.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My reason for suspending standing orders is because this is one of the most important documents that's come before Council for many, many years. As everybody knows, we're on the intention now of viewing a 10-year cycle of trying to put the Council back onto a footing which it has been not on for quite some considerable time. This document to me is a very precise document. In many instances, I am unable to actually balance the figures and the requirements in the budget itself. I know that I've had some self-explanatory ones in the debriefing tonight, and they have, in many instances, have given the information I require. But there's still certain aspects that I'm not quite sure of. I'd like to know where we're standing in the financial. There's nowhere in this budget have we got any idea what our debtors and creditors are. And I think that's most essential.
Well, that comes out in our monthly reports. Yeah, certainly this is our budget.
Yeah, but it affects the monthly report. If you go back to that, we had debtors of $34 million, so I don't think we'll take any notes of those figures. Because that included an invoice that had been raised that since then we have received the money for. Mm-hmm. So we can't use those figures at all. But what I would really like to know, what is our financial status at the end of the 30th of June? And I can't take that on those figures that I've got for the 30th of June.
Through you, Madam Mayor, besides the receivables component in the draft budget, I can't give you any other information without extracting that from our system. I assume we can do a report on 30 days, 60 days and 90 days debtors.
Yep, so through the chair, the interim financials came out as at 30 June.
I've got them.
Very clearly they move on a daily basis. Yeah. We could update those every day if you like, but they do change. We receive money and make payments on a regular basis, so I'm not actually quite sure what your intention is in terms of gaining a debtors and creditors balance.
I want to know exactly at the present moment. Normally you have that presentation to us at a meeting regarding what we do have in the bank. I've not seen it tonight.
Well, that's you have, because it's a special council meeting, but I have the balances handy because I knew you would like them. So sitting within a municipal account, as of this morning, there was $21,389,279.93. Within the BHP reserve account, there was $6,075,070.57. Within a normal reserve account, there was $4,440,970.95. Within the trust account, there was $290,290.24. And within Cyclone George, there was $103,409.74. And obviously we still have the investments that won't mature at this stage, so they will still roll.
Still the same as they were at the ordinary council meeting.
Have you any idea what our debtors were?
No, I didn't look into that balance, but obviously the 32 mil has reduced significantly.
Because of that invoice we raised.
22. So I would expect that debtors are in the order of probably 9 or 10 million. Yeah.
Which would include some of that.
It would also include underground.
Underground power that we haven't received a response on.
That's a ballpark.
Yeah. And I did see that when the last one I did, you did have your 90, 30, 60 days allocations. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Right.
Any other questions or queries or while we're speaking, is it?
If not, Madam Mayor, I'd like to have a look.
I'd just like to mention before we go on. As far as the budget's concerned, it's a very good budget, but I feel as though that I do need a little bit more information on it. I've had a majority of the queries I had tonight have answered. I still have a few more, but I'll leave.
But you're confident that you'll get that information?
I am confident I'll get it.
Good. I'd just like to raise one comment, if I could. In the last few weeks, this council and probably unknown to the general public, has met several times in confidence. And throughout those many meetings, which in my time as a councillor I've not experienced this level of intensity before, there has been several deficit figures discussed at those confidential meetings. And I'm just not comfortable just at this stage that we have actually reached a balanced budget.
Despite looking at the figures. CEO?
Well, I'm not sure how to address that besides saying that the officers have put this budget together. We would not have presented it to council without our confidence that it was a balanced budget. And yes, there are some revenue streams in there that still contain, you know, some risk, no different to our differential rates. That's been dragged right back this year. Of course, there are expenditure and income accounts right throughout the whole budget that are going to require a significant amount of discipline throughout the year to ensure that expenditure is reined in and that all revenue streams and revenue that is owed to the Town of Port Hedland is collected in a timely manner. I can only sit here today and offer, I guess, my position as CEO and put my view that it is a balanced budget, Madam Mayor, and we will report on this on a month-by-month basis. We will talk about that efficiency dividend and report that to Council. It becomes a publicly available document. Mm-hmm. And I guess as CEO, I guess my neck rests on this document. So maybe other body parts. But
CEO, why is this year's budget process been a little bit more different than in previous years?
Madam Mayor, over the last 2 years, all local governments in WA have had to start the process of integrated planning and reporting framework, and that required local governments to prepare a number of strategies. Those individual strategies were then supposed to inform a corporate business plan and a long-term financial plan. In the perfect world, those documents would have been value tested a number of times and would have essentially allowed us to extract 1 year out of the corporate business plan, which would have probably provided, in this is my language, of probably a 95 to 97% budget component. The other 3% might have been discretionary allocations that Council could still deal with. What has happened is that the correction in the economy and the slowdown has seen a number of projections and a number of assumptions in those corporate documents now being far too, I guess, optimistic. And that's so we've gone back and we are still assessing and confirming a number of those documents, including our workforce plan, including our ability to deal with projects that have been listed under the corporate business plan. And that has meant that we've actually really had to structure the budget on a different format rather than bringing it straight out of the corporate business plan. Again, my commitment to Council is that over the next 12 months, as we refine those documents and we talk to Council about the long-term financial plan, I think next year I'm looking forward to starting these discussions in February with Council and making sure that our rate setting statements, or rating strategy is probably the better term to use, and our forward capital works programs are clearly evidenced, and we can provide that information to Council and the community a lot earlier.
Councillor
Jacob? Oh yeah, I'd like to make a statement. I respect the comments from both Councillor Jacob, Councillor Zombach and Carter, through the chair. Mm-hmm. But I would also like to acknowledge that, as Councillor Zombach has acknowledged, this budget has been a labour of very intensive work, and for the last 6 months the administration and elected members have put through quite a lot of time in extrapolating what is now today the draft budget. There are some questions that are relevant. However, the budget that's delivered today, I fully support as a budget that is one that one can accept tonight, purely given that the deficits that have been talked about have been workshopped through various budget briefings and budget workshops with elected members and administration, come to the table to find a method to work the elected members' wish to reduce what was clearly required in the rates review to operate this administration and work on the budget for 2013-14. With that reduction, I think the officers have found many cost savings to reduce that and have come up with a balanced budget. We do have the flexibility of quarterly annual budget reviews for us to, I guess, attend to anything with regards to cash flow. But if we're talking about looking at a document that produces a balanced budget, I think we can assume that the amount of input from elected members into this document is as much as what has been put through by the administration. And it's not a document that's just been landed on our table. This is 6 months' worth of a lot of workshops, a lot of a lot of briefings, a lot of summaries, a lot of questions. So I think the fact that, I applaud the fact that this balanced budget has been delivered. And I also sort of, I guess for, I'd like to put it on public statement that it's really imperative that we look at accepting a balanced budget in the short interim, because the cash flow of this administration is affected by the longer that this budget is accepted, which puts us into more stress. There's nothing abhorrent about this budget that sticks out where there is a lot of questions around it. The fact that we delivered a balanced budget to this date is actually a commendation on the staff and administration's efforts to find efficiencies to bring the balance, to bring that what was the deficit back into balance. So I support this, and I just want to, I mean, while there are a lot of questions, I just want to acknowledge that this is a balanced budget that you can be confident of, and I believe that there has been a lot of hard work and labour that's gone in to deliver this budget.
Anything further, councillors, while we're speaking freely? Or I'll have a move of the return, resume, standing
on. If I just say, Madam Mayor, of course, any budget is predicated on assumptions.
Yeah.
And this budget has assumptions built into it. It has assumptions based on what the current interest rates are, what the current fuel price is, what are current energy prices. Well, that will have full employment throughout the year. So there are a number of assumptions built into budgets, and that's why we do regular budget reviews. And again, from the executive's mind and the executive's perspective, our commitment is to give you monthly updates and show you how we're tracking back on that efficiency dividend of $1.93 million. And certainly, if there are any glaring, if the assumptions are not fulfilled, then they will be reflected in our monthly reports back to you. And that's as best we can do at this particular point in time.
Anything further, councillors?
I've already got that.
Resume standing orders. Move Councillor De Cash, seconded Councillor Jacob. All in favour? 7-0. Okay, councillors, do any councillors want to pull any of the recommendations out separately?
Yes, there's only one I'd like to pull out, and that there for you is item number 20.
CEO, does that have any implications on anything?
Well, it still forms part of our overall budget position, Madam Mayor.
But it doesn't preclude following items being adopted or anything?
That will still need to be adopted tonight.
Yeah.
As you know, so there'll need to be discussion over that. And
yes.
that figure has been derived based on Council's previous resolutions of rate in the dollar and the calculation based on the Valuer General's valuation sheets provided to us.
So pulling this out won't stop any of the others being considered
no.
in
so
any
so you could actually do any of the others, but as long as that is considered tonight,
right.
And any change to that dollar figure essentially could mean a change...
Rewriting to the Minister. Yep. Any other items to be pulled out, councillors?
There's not, Madam Mayor. Can we vote on all the others on block?
On block, yes.
Just point of clarification.
Yep.
I mean, does that not mean that if there is a revisit of this figure, that we have to rewrite the whole budget?
Well, we have to write back to the Minister and gain his approval.
To see how the board goes.
I was under the impression that...
If it's going up or down, essentially, in terms of modifying that figure, you will need to modify your revenue and expenditure programme.
But also we'll need to write to the Minister as well.
Yes, but...
Well, it depends on the vote, Madam Mayor.
All right, so I have a motion on the table, just a mover at this stage from Councillor De Cash to move all the other items except for Recommendation 20 en bloc. Do I have a seconder for that? Thank you. Sure. Making you all aware that to do this, they all need to be passed absolute majority so that we're considering them all en bloc. Do I have any points of clarification for all the recommendations, excepting recommendation 20, but including 1 to 23?
So if we say 1 to 19 and 21 to 23.
23. That's correct.
No points of clarification.
That's what I sort of meant,
yes. Sorry,
in a shorter way. Okay. Do I have any points of clarification on that? I have a mover in...
Councillor
Jacob. Yeah. So mover in Councillor Jacob, seconder Councillor De Cash. Any against? Motion. Yep. Speaker 4. Speaker 4.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I don't know which point to speak on. There's several, but the point of moving all of the recommendations on block form part of the acceptance of the draft budget as put to the table today. As mentioned previously, I believe that the administration, and certainly I have to commend through you, through the Chair, Councillor Carter's effort in developing this draft budget along with the administration through his diligence and lots of input into questions relating to a lot of the items in this budget, this has now been delivered. It's a labour of 6 months plus. It's a budget that has been delivered with much thought, much, I guess, it's been different to the previous year budget that I've sat in, where it was quite simple to do. This has been delivered with a lot of respect to all the various community plans that we have, viewing with views to asset management, with views to the efficiency amounts that we have proposed that the administration should take. So I believe that the thought that the effort that has been put into deliver this very large document has not been one that hasn't been considered, and it has delivered a balanced budget.
Speaker against.
Thank you for that very comprehensive introduction. Yeah, I think you've done a very good job. My endorsement is exactly the same. There has been an enormous amount of work going, and there has been a lot of discussion, and there's also been a lot of goings and throughs about it. I do have a problem at that present moment. And I do have a problem, and I express it quite sincerely, because there are things in here that I do not think in my own heart are achievable. I've got to express that. I've got to say that I do have that problem. But having said that, as far as the document's concerned, as far as the work rate's concerned, I think it's a brilliant document, and for the futuristic of Portland, we've got to take something somewhere. But are we taking the right step for the next 5 years? I mentioned a little while ago about where we're going in the next 5 years. This document has got to be the leader of where we're going for the next 4 or 5 years. I have that problem. Are we doing it in the right direction? That's all I have to say.
Speaker 4. Any other speakers against? Right of reply?
I mean, I think we're all on the same page here. We're all working towards the same, wanting to deliver a document that's workable. I think the strategy that this administration and this council is taking with a view to our future budgetary requirements for what the town previously, with all due respect to us, and to members, communities' aspirations compared to what actually are deliverable wasn't deliverable. And I think it's taken us 18 months to realise that we've got a lot of dreams, but the reality is the cash flow is not there. And I think this administration and certainly this elected council has been very responsible in acknowledging that there are things that have to be pushed back in the timeline to what the community's dreams and aspirations are in view of the various changes and frameworks within the local government that requires us to have an integrated financial plan, to require us to have work within certain boundaries that says, well, this is what we have to do, how do we afford to pay for that? And asset management, which has always been something in the background but hasn't really been attended to. So those types of things contribute to the fact that we are now a lot more strategic in how we deliver budgets. We are now a lot more... We have to work within certain frameworks that make sure organisations like ours deliver budgets that are realistic and affordable and not just aspirational. I think that there's no argument about wanting to make sure that the document that we pass tonight is the document that sets the standard moving forward. I think the fact that we've worked so long on this budget sort of indicates to you that microscopic view of how the dollars are spent are now very, very clearly in place. The rate strategy, as the CEO mentioned before, those things are things that we never used to consider on a long-term basis, but we are now looking at those. So, I mean, through the chair. Councillor Carter, I think what you're saying is absolutely true. We're not arguing the point as to or fro here. It's just saying that let's make sure that what we do today sets the foundation for what we do in the future. And I agree with you totally there. But I also believe that there has to be a start, and I think this is a start. And then, as I said, through the various budgetary, like quarterly budget audits, that gives us the flexibility to look at what has to be changed and massaged as those quarterly reviews are done, and as the administrations have already undertaken, that we get briefed monthly on how that budget is performing. So I have confidence that accepting this still allows us to ensure that we are able to have firm control on where the budget is.
Thank you. Okay, I'll put it to a vote. Those in favour of the motion as it is currently, can I please have a show of hands? Those against the motion, can I have a show of hands? Let the vote record 6-1. Thank you, councillors. Okay, so now I have officers' recommendation 20, that council adopts the statutory annual budget for the year ending 30th of June, rate, including the rate setting statement requiring $22,557,573 rates to be raised. This also requires an absolute majority vote. Do I have any points of clarification on officers' recommendation 20?
No points, so moved.
Moved, Councillor Carter. Seconded, Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 7-0. So, governance, all those items have been passed with absolute majority. All those are carried. Thank you, councillors, and thank you, executive, for putting all that together, particularly our Director of Corporate Services and our Manager of Finance as well. Thank you. Okay, item 7, confidential items, there are nil. Item 8, closure, 8.1. The next ordinary meeting of council will be held on Wednesday the 28th of August, commencing at 5:30 p.m. If there's no further business, I'd like to declare this special council meeting closed at 6:21. Thank you very much, councillors, staff and members of the public. Thank you.
Thank you, madam. Done another excellent job in deciding a very difficult situation.
I've made the point
that had me bamboozled all the time.
I had a bit of a plan.
I saw my 4-3 note.
You shouldn't play poker.
I wrote it down. You don't play poker.
Actually,
is that a challenge?
To play poker. There we go, Josh.